This week in Burma, or Myanmar, the seizure of land for a government-owned copper mine once again brought protesters out into the streets, who were routed by the police. Myanmar certainly is no stranger to protests and a brutal government response, but this week's episode was notable for two reasons. It's been mere months since the country made protests legal, and the police response is seen as a gauge of just how government reforms will be respected. The demonstrations also come in the same month Barack Obama became the first serving U.S. president to visit Myanmar, a Southeast Asian nation once uttered in the same breath as North Korea. And his presence was a striking acknowledgement of just how substantial Myanmar's democratic changes have been. In an impassioned speech, he acknowledged both the astonishing reforms implemented in the past 2 years and the long road ahead. Reporter Gabriel Pollack was in the newsroom of the Myanmar Times in downtown Rangoon, or Yangon, when he delivered it.
I stand here with confidence that something is happening in this country.
Reporters crowded around the TV and laughed when Obama ended his speech with a slow and cautious thank you. Just a year ago, this scene would have been unthinkable. The United States didn't have formal diplomatic ties with Myanmar. But in August, President Thein Sein's reformed government finally kept its promise to end censorship. Before last August, the Myanmar Times would send proofs to the press scrutiny board where government officials decided what was fit to print. Jeffrey Goddard edited the English language edition for 7 years.
Some censorship decisions have appalled me, some have astonished me, most have disappointed me, but, you know, that is the system and I had to accept it.
He recalls an incident earlier this year when Myanmar's chief censor, Tin Sui, was interviewed about the imminent end of censorship.
It was a story about the end of censorship, and Tin Sui censored it. And what made it kind of personal for me is that one of the paragraphs he censored from the story was a quote I had given anonymously to Agence France-Presse, in which I said, quote, "He had one of the worst jobs in Myanmar. He was pressured from above by ministers, officials and powerful business people to keep stories out, and pressured from below by editors to keep stories in. And he cut it out of the story," which I think is pretty funny.
Not having censorship is very good for development of Burmese literature and for the country also.
Tin Sui was Myanmar's last chief censor. He started out in the army as editor for a military science magazine and was eventually promoted to the Information Ministry, where he became chief of the Press Scrutiny Board, or PSRD. When the government declared an end to censorship, he reflected on his time as a censor in an article called Literary Torturer.
My present office was the office of the Japanese secret police during the Second World War. That was where they took people they arrested for interrogation and torture. It is well known as the ruthless Japanese secret police center. And when building was changed into the PSRD office, people said this office was no longer a place to torture people. Instead, it became a place to torture the media, literature, by cutting, blocking and omitting ideas, opinions, and thought. That's why they nicknamed me Literary Torturer.
The former secret police headquarters is grim, dilapidated, filled with stacks of moldy documents, slowly losing a battle against the encroaching rain-soaked jungle. It was a place where hopes and dreams were shattered.
You know, for all my friends who were writers here, it was a place of trauma. You know, they would come here and they would leave just traumatized.
Amitabh Ghosh, Bengali author of The Glass Palace, has stopped by the building with Burmese author Mathita to pay a friendly visit.
I remember being told a story by a modernist writer who would come here and she would be interrogated by some young lieutenant or something who would then roll up her things and throw it in the corner and hit it with a golf club. And it was, I mean, you know, the fact that it sounds funny to us just goes to show, in a way, you know, how far Burma has moved, you know.
Many believe the building is haunted by the souls of prisoners that were tortured there. But Mathira, who just published a memoir of her imprisonment for threatening national serenity, is haunted by the souls of lost stories.
You know, it took me to get permission for my first and only novel in Burmese. It took all together more than 8 months, and then I was arrested. So they asked the printer to stop. So this, the first and only novel, it took me altogether 10 years to get published, including my imprisonment time, you could imagine. So it's kind of haunting, you know, haunting for us.
Former censor Tin Sui also describes being haunted.
It is my job to decide what should be published and what shouldn't be published. I question myself and my intellect that my brain wasn't good enough to make the right decision. I wanted to make only the most necessary cut, but sometimes I did cut off more than I should have. But it was because I was simply afraid of repercussion or the writing was unclear to me.
His old office is now an ordinary registry for books, magazines, even songs. But transformation is tricky. The abolition of censorship is just one of many steps the government is taking to dismantle a military bureaucracy once so pervasive the nation can barely function without it. Extracting it is like trying to remove a person's skeleton without killing it. Musician and radio DJ Jeb Bulk says he finds his creativity is challenged by the new freedom.
Just think about it. You're in the cage, right? You're a bird and you're in the cage. You haven't fly for like all your life, and then you just open the gate and you don't know what to do now. So we're free now. Okay, well, we don't have to go for the sensible, but how far we can push? That's the important thing. But we don't know the limit.
The new generation is testing the limits. Arrests of copper mine protesters this past week in Yangon illustrates just how perilous the end of censorship can be in a state with such a hobbled system of justice. Once the Burmese people were silenced systematically by the state, personified by Tin Sui and his red pen, now they have free speech, in theory, but not always in reality. Meanwhile, Tin Sui has started posting his own short nonfiction on his Facebook page. Tin Sui plans to write a memoir of his life as a censor. Censors, after all, were censored too. For On the Media, I'm Gabrielle Paluch in Yangon, Myanmar. Now I have to move aside, feeling like I'm left behind. Well, I do have another confession. No one's perfect and I'm just no one. Sure, I call myself.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.